Good morning. My name is Keith, and I'm happy to be here this morning. I'm wondering how many of you have a flooded basement? Does anyone have a flooded basement? No? I know there are a few of you that have a flooded basement. It's amazing how we can go from a storm to the sun like we have over this weekend. And I want you to know that sometimes in life we face storms. And other times in life, the sun is out and shining. And I want you to know that no matter the season you find yourself in, the Lord has something for you this morning. There is room for every season under the sun, and God has something for us this morning in that. We've been preaching through a series in the book of 1 Corinthians. And I'll have you know that we preached through pretty much the entire book except for two chapters, chapter 14 and chapter 16. And we're going to be taking up those last two chapters that we have yet to walk through that book next week, over the next 3 weeks. This morning, I want to take a pause and talk a little bit about storms. And I trust that the Lord has something for each of us this morning. Let's pray. Jesus, we come to you, the author of life. And in this moment, we invite you to reorder the universe, where we take our feet, our place at your feet. And we turn to you as the giver of life, and the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. Speak through your living word so that we might have life in you. Move in your spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine that you were there that day with Jesus in the boat. The day that we read about in Mark chapter 4. It was the end of a long day, and the sun was setting, which was causing this great, beautiful hue of orange in the sky. And the air was warm on your skin, and there was a waft of a sour smell in the air coming from the boats and the nets. It was the smell of fish. Are you there with me? And you were tired. It had been a long day, but it had been a long day of ministry with Jesus. And in that, you felt a sense of satisfaction, a sense of accomplishment. It was one of those days that at the end of the day, you take a deep breath. And you feel as though everything is right in the world with Jesus by your side. And you follow Jesus along the shore. He weaves you in and out, and he takes you to a boat just on the edge of the water. You see, you're going to sail across the water because tomorrow is another day of ministry. And so you follow Jesus into the boat while a number of your friends push the boat out into the water. And as you sail in that boat out into the water, far from the shore, you see Jesus making his way over the rungs of the boat to the front where he finds a cushion. And he lays down his head and he falls asleep. And in that moment you think, Jesus, you deserve a rest. And again, you breathe it in. Everything's so peaceful with Jesus in the boat. But then you feel the temperature on your skin change. The air turns cold. You hadn't noticed the wind previous to this, but now the goosebumps up and down your arms signal a change. In the sky, these dark clouds, they roll in and they strangle out the orange hue and turn it black. And the wind begins to pick up. The wind picks up and it begins to blow the water. So there are these white swells upon the water and the boat begins to pitch back and forth. And even some of your traveling companions who were mariners, who knew the sea, they had unstable legs. And as the wind blew and rocked you back and forth, the sky opens up and it begins to rain, but not just a little rain. This isn't just an evening drizzle. You're caught in the storm. And you've lived around the sea long enough to know the danger of the situation you find yourself in. Because as the rain begins to pour down from the heavens, it begins to fill the boat from the sky, but also the boat is being filled from the sea. That you have known people, compatriots of yours, that have died in situations such as these. And as you look around the boat, you see in everyone's eyes, though nobody's saying it, you see a fear, you see panic, because there is one emotion that takes over in the storms of life, and it's fear. And as you look around at everyone frantically bailing water out of the boat and hauling in the sail for safety, something catches your eye. It's Jesus. And he's not bailing. He's not pulling in the sail. He's sleeping. Sleeping. In the midst of the storm of your life, Jesus is silent. And in an instant, your fear turns to anger. And you crawl over the rungs of the boat to the front of the boat where Jesus is sleeping. You grab him by the shoulders and you say, "Teacher, don't you care if we all drown? Jesus, don't you care? Can't you do something?" And Jesus straightens himself out and he looks you in the eye with that compassion that he has. And he doesn't say a word. He simply stands up. And he faces the front of the boat, staring out in the storm. And he says, "Quiet. Be still." And in that moment, there are stories that flood to your memory. Stories you heard as a kid of the living God speaking into the storm and calling the wind and the waves to stop. And in that moment, as Jesus calls the storm to be quiet, the wind and the waves obey him. There's peace. And in that moment, you'd think that you would feel an intense sense of relief. But that's not the emotion you felt. In fact, the emotion that you felt was fear. But it was a different kind of fear. You could say it was a safe kind of fear. Because what do you do when you realize that the man in the boat with you is actually God? Storms happen in life. And sometimes the storms we experience in life, they come out of nowhere. They just arrive. Storms might come in a diagnosis or a doctor's visit. Or a storm might come through an email that you receive or a mistake that you make or the death of a loved one. See, storms can arise out of nowhere and catch us off guard, but sometimes storms, they build over time. They build slowly. Sometimes a storm comes in the marriage that with each passing day seems to be sailing further and further into troubled waters. Or like that addiction, that with each passing day it seems to take a greater stranglehold on your vitality and life. Or maybe it's the job situation that just seems to be getting worse and worse, never better. See, storms, they happen in life. Sometimes they come out of nowhere. Sometimes they build over time. But no matter what, whenever we face a storm in life, it threatens our well-being. It threatens our joy. It threatens our peace. And so I wonder, what storms have you faced in your life? I wonder what storm you're facing right now. And if you will, I invite you to bring your storm to the surface. Whether it's been a storm from your past or a storm you're presently in, I invite you to bring it to the surface because I believe Jesus has something for you this morning. He has something for us. He wants you to know that he's in the boat. The Philippian church were experiencing a storm of their own. Previously, this church had known sunny days. They were a church that knew vibrant fellowship amongst themselves. They were a church that had an effective ministry. But now, as they had grown in number, they were experiencing a kind of opposition from the city that they were living in. Some of their neighbors and the government that was kind of governing them didn't take kindly to people within the church proclaiming that Jesus was Lord. And so they began to experience this kind of social persecution. But more than that, the church had some difficulties happening within the fellowship of the church itself. There were a number of leaders that were causing division amongst the church. And so what was happening was there were people who formerly had known one another, who were like family together. They had begun to be pitted against one another. They were experiencing division. But it gets worse for the church. They had received this letter saying that Paul, their beloved forefather, had been arrested and put in jail for doing the very same things that they were doing in the city, for proclaiming Jesus as Lord. And they began to fear for their future. What if the same thing could happen to us? And it got worse for the church, because they sent one of their very own, a man named Epaphroditus, off to go to meet with Paul to encourage him and care for him while he was in prison. But they hadn't heard a word from Epaphroditus in weeks, in months. No one knew where he was. And all of these circumstances go into building the storm that the Philippian church was facing. They were experiencing division within, opposition from the outside world, and fear and uncertainty about their future. Perhaps you can relate in some way or another. And Paul has something specific to write to the Philippian church in the midst of their storm. He writes a letter to address some of the matters, and one of the things he says are important for anyone who has experienced a storm in their life, because they are the living word that lead us to peace. And so I invite you to listen to the word of God as I read Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Philippians 4, 4 to 7, Paul writes this into the storm, and at first his words catch us off guard. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Let me say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know about you, but when I am in the midst of a difficult situation in life, the last thing I want someone to do is come up to me and say, "Keith, you know what? I know you're going through a tough time. I think you need to rejoice." We agree on that. I think we're probably all in the same place. The last thing that we want is someone to come up to us and give us a mantra, a nice little mantra or a saying that we can take with us, right? The last thing we want when we're in the storms of life is for someone to give us their formula for navigating the challenges of life. Am I right in that? I don't think I'm the only one who doesn't really take to. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of that kind of advice, and it irks you a little bit. And at first, it seems like Paul is giving us a formula for peace, right? Because he gives us three commands. Paul says, in the storm, speaking into the context of the storm that this church is going through, he gives three commands. He says, rejoice in the Lord, let your gentleness be evident to all, and third, don't be anxious. And so on first reading, we might get the impression that Paul is saying something like this, that in the storm, you need to rejoice. You know, if you're just happy, it's going to turn your situation around. And in your storm, you need to let your goodness be evident. You need to go and do something good. You need to go maybe and serve at a soup kitchen. And doing something good, that'll give you some perspective on how things really are. They'll maybe take your mind off things. And you know what? You know what your problem is? You just worry too much. This isn't something you should worry about, so just don't worry. At first, it sounds like Paul is giving us this cliched formula for finding peace in the midst of the storm. And maybe you've been on the receiving end of that kind of advice, and you know one thing for certain, that kind of advice has no power over the storms of your life, does it? And what I want us to be clear about this morning is that Paul is not giving us a formula for finding peace. He isn't saying the way to find peace is to follow these three steps, but rather he is saying the way to peace is seeing through the storm to see Jesus. The way to experience peace in the midst of the storms that inevitably hit us in life is to see through the storm, to see the one who is in control. Let me show you how this works in the text. Look at what Paul says in verse 4. Paul doesn't say simply, rejoice. Right? He doesn't simply say, rejoice in the storm, does he? That's not what he says. What does Paul say in verse 4? He says, rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord. Paul isn't saying, find happiness in the midst of your storm. No, Paul is saying, find Jesus in the midst of your storm. And when you find Jesus, then joy is possible. You see, the joy that we experience in life does not need to be dependent on the circumstances of our life. The joy is dependent on coming to see through the storm, to see Jesus. Because when we come to see that Jesus is in the boat with us, in the midst of the storm, we can rejoice in all circumstances. Because when we come to see the God who enters into the boat with us, we come to learn of his plans and purposes for our life. We come to see his love and concern for us, that he's willing to weather the storm with us. Then we can rejoice. Because how do you respond when you realize that the man in the boat with you is actually God? See, we need to see through the storm to see Jesus. In verse 5, we see another glimpse of Paul pointing us past the storm to see Jesus. In the middle of giving these instructions, Paul, he uses these words. He says, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. And when you read this passage in the original Greek language, these words virtually jump off the page. They're given such prominence and attention because of the way that they're written into the sentence. And the reason for this is because these words, the Lord is near, are intended by Paul to be a central focus of what he's trying to teach us here. And the Lord is near actually has a double meaning. Most scholars think that Paul is using a double entendre here with this phrase, the Lord is near. And so it has two meanings. On one hand, the Lord is near means that the Lord is coming soon, that he is near at hand, that he is returning. And so what Paul is saying here is that in your storm, you can rejoice because the Lord will one day return and he will look every storm in your life in the eye and he will say, be quiet, be still. And the wind and the waves will obey his voice. And so we can rejoice because the Lord is near. And he says, we can let our goodness, our gentleness be evident to all. We don't need to be overcome by darkness in the midst of our storm. That we can still live as children of the light because the Lord is near. He's coming back and he wants everyone to know the God of love and rescue. So let your goodness be evident to all. The Lord is near. He's coming back. And we can rejoice. But the other part of the Lord is near, the other meaning of the Lord is near, is it means that the Lord is close. The Lord is present. That the Lord is here. That in the storm of your life, Jesus is in the boat. So we don't need to worry. because in the boat is the God of the storm. In the boat is the one who can look the storm in the eye and call it to be quiet. In the boat is the one who knows the way forward. He knows the way home. In the boat is the one who will steer the ship if we let him. So we don't need to worry. You see what Paul is doing? The way through the storm isn't by following this list of advice, but it's by seeing the God who is in control. It's by coming to focus our eyes on Jesus. And we can rejoice. And we can live in goodness. And we don't need to worry because the Lord is near. Now, I think it's important to note that when Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, Paul isn't talking about a clinical anxiety. That maybe there are some people here today or those you know who suffer from a clinical anxiety, a debilitating anxiety, where that actually probably constitutes the storm that you're facing in life. And Paul isn't speaking about that specific situation, but rather he's talking about that worry that we live with when we're constantly fixated on what can go wrong as opposed to being fixated on Jesus who leads us through the storm. And so when Paul says the Lord is near, he's using this double meaning that the Lord will overcome one day the storm. He will have victory over the storms of your life, but in the meantime, he's the God who steps into the boat with you. It's hard to keep focus in the storm, isn't it? I don't know about you, but when I've experienced those moments in my life, those seasons in my life where it's been hard, and I've cried out to God saying, God, if this is what life is like, I'm not sure I want to live it. It's a prayer I prayed to God. In those moments, it's hard to keep focus on Jesus, right? We so often lose sight of Jesus, and when we begin to focus on the storm all around us, those circumstances that we cannot control. And do you know how we keep focus on Jesus in the midst of the storm? Paul tells us. We keep focus in the storm through prayer. 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 Four times Paul speaks of prayer in verse 6. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. These are four terms, four words used throughout Scripture to talk about prayer. Praying, petitioning God, thanksgiving, prayers of thanksgiving, and presenting our requests to God. The way to keep focus in the midst of the storm is to pray. See, in the storm, when we pray, we are given access to the life and power of Jesus. It's what happens when we pray. But get this, when we pray, Jesus is given access to the fears of our hearts. You see how that works? See, prayer isn't about unlocking a genie from a bottle so he can grant our wishes and make our life better. Prayer is a special meeting. It's a place of special meeting as we come weak and vulnerable to a God who is strong and able. And it's in prayer that the two come together in this special meeting. That prayer is crying out to God and saying, Jesus, don't you care if I drown? Jesus, don't you see what's happening? Can't you do something? And as we call out to God in prayer, prayer is also the place that we come to realize that Jesus has actually been in the boat with us all along. The prayer is this special meeting between us and God. It is the place where we come to know the character of God. We come to hear the voice of God speaking words of his love and affirmation and coming to know his plans and purposes for our life. We keep focus in the midst of the storm through prayer. Paul calls it the peace of God. It's in verse 7. He says, and the peace of God,
which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, when we focus on Jesus in the storm, as we come to him in prayer and we encounter him in prayer, there is a kind of peace that comes that just doesn't make sense. In some situations where people might spiral out of control or into darkness, with Jesus, he holds us fast. He holds us safe. It's the peace of God which doesn't make sense. It transcends all understanding. It's what Jesus does. And so if I could call the church to only one thing, if I had to just choose one thing to call us as the people of God to, I think it would be this: prayer. Prayer. Because it's in prayer that we come to encounter the living Jesus. And that in the storm, it's through prayer that we come to focus in on him, that we experience his love and grace, and he steers the boat. You know, I've noticed in my pastoral ministry over the last, well, how long has it been? 15 years. That people who know how to pray, people who even don't know how to pray but do pray, people who cultivate prayer, people who are in group environments and are always praying, they seem to be the ones who know how to navigate the storms of life. Would you agree with that? Have you noticed that too? And so if I'm to call us to one thing, I want to call us to be a church that grows in prayer. To be a church that when we gather together, let's not just be content with talking about the weather, but let's take a moment and say, can we pray? Or let's take a risk when we're with our Christian friends and you have a burden on your heart and you know you don't want to be a downer in the party. Sometimes that happens. Can we take a risk and say, you know what? I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me, not when you go home, but I need you to pray for me right now. And in situations when everything is bright and sunny, can we be a community that when we gather together, we give prayers of thanksgiving to God? That we want to be a community that cultivates a life of prayer so that when the storm hits, we can rejoice always because we can see Jesus. That we know he is near and we can let our goodness be seen by all and we won't be overcome by worry because we know the one who's in control. And how do we grow into prayer? Well, we try it. We practice it. We pray with people. We read the Psalms. What a great resource to show us what real, raw, honest prayer looks like that leads us to the God who rescues us in Jesus. Prayer keeps us focused in the storm. Now, if you've been tracking with me so far, maybe some of you might be thinking this. You might be thinking, Keith, you know what? In my storm, I have prayed. I have prayed and prayed, and it seems like Jesus is still sleeping. Or maybe he just doesn't care because no matter how hard I pray, God isn't doing anything. And I get it. I've been in that season in my life before as well. I mean, we know that God is good. He says he loves us, and we know that he's powerful. So when we pray, couldn't he use his power to show his love by bringing an end to my storm? I get it. And to be honest, I don't know if I have a fully satisfactory answer to that heart question. But I do remember hearing a story that a pastor once told that brought ministry to my heart when I was wrestling through that very same question. This pastor, he tells a story about going for a hike into the woods with his 1.5-year-old son. And so he put his son in one of those backpacks and he put it on his back and they began to walk into the forest on a beautiful day. The sun was shining. It was a cool, crisp autumn day. And you could hear the leaves and the twigs crackle under their feet as they walked. The birds were singing, and the dad was listening to his young son on his back begin to coo as though he was delighting in all that was taking place. And as they walked along, they were enjoying the sun, but before long, a cloud came over, and it began to sprinkle with rain. And at first, it was kind of refreshing to have that rain on the hike. And so they continued on, but before long, the rain came a little harder and a little harder. And so the dad put a hood over the backpack to cover his son's head, and they walked on. But as they walked on, it began to rain harder and harder, and unknowing to the father, the hood came off the son's head. And it wasn't long before the son was no longer cooing with delight. He was crying with fear. And as the child cried and cried, the father, he took the backpack off as he turned around to head back home. He pulled his son out of the backpack, put the empty backpack on his back, and took his son. And he held his son's ear close to his heart. And with every step, he said, "I love you, buddy. We're going to make it. Daddy knows the way home. I love you, buddy. We're going to make it. Daddy knows the way home." And then the pastor reflects. He says this. He says, "What if 20 years later, my son, who's now grown up, is sitting in a therapy session? He's bringing up all these repressed memories from his childhood. And he points to that day and he comes to me and says, 'Dad, how could you let that happen to me? Don't you know the pain that that day caused me in life?'" The father, he reflects and says, "Hearing that would crush me. Because for me as the father, that moment of holding my son close to my chest, saying, 'I love you, buddy. We're going to make it. Daddy knows the way home,' that was the most tender moment that the father had ever had with his child." I think the same is true of our Heavenly Father. That he is the one in the midst of our storm that takes us out of the pack, and he pulls us to his chest so we can hear his heart. And he whispers to us, "I love you, my child. We're going to make it. Daddy knows the way home." And it's to this God that we turn. Let's pray. Jesus, you have loved us perfectly. Yet in the midst of life's storms, sometimes we just don't understand. But I pray today that you would give us a vision for the God who doesn't stand off in the distance and watch the storms roll over the people of life, but the God who enters into the boat to navigate the storm with us. I pray, living Jesus, that in this moment that you would minister to those whose hearts are heavy right now. I pray that you would bring your encouragement, that you would call them into a deeper experience of you. And that, God, you would be growing us to be a place of prayer, a people of prayer, so that we might know the God who calls out to the storm. And, Lord Jesus, we pray for those who are in a season of sunshine and joy. We pray for more. We pray that the goodness of God would overflow in this place. And, Lord, in every season, we turn to you. Because you love us. Because we know with you we're going to make it. Because we know you know the way home.